Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all of the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today's gospel reading is interesting. And it's interesting not only because Luke is my favorite gospel, and we're finally there, and we're out of Mark, and we don't have to deal with John today, and Matthew is still another year away. But it's interesting because there's kind of two parts going on in today's reading. There was that first part that had a list of leaders and rulers, and then there was the beginning of John the Baptist's teaching. Now, if you're anything like me, I often want to skim past and quickly get to the good part and get past all those names. A lot of times I can't quickly contextualize exactly what they mean, and frankly, I often fumble pronouncing them, and so it's a little embarrassing. So you just want to, let's just move right along. But the thing is when you look at these three short verses at the beginning, it's ones that we actually don't want to zoom past. Now, certainly they give us some kind of historical context to the environment in which John began his ministry. But why we don't want to skim past them is that they make a really large theological claim that we're going to want to carry with us as we study Luke over this next year. You see, right at the beginning of the gospel, and this is even before Jesus' ministry, Luke wants to make abundantly clear that Jesus and God are going to show up in unexpected places and going to be revealed in people that we might not think of as the best people. Now, it's not going to be revealed in presidents or governors or religious people. That's why we listed all of them out first. Rather, God's presence will be discovered in seemingly average and ordinary people. And so too, God won't show up in capital cities or economic centers or places of power. Rather, God will show up and be revealed in the wilderness. In that often scary and confusing place where God has so frequently in the scriptures spoken to God's people. It is that in-between place, not here or there, but somewhere in between. It is that place of uncertainty, not knowing where you're going, that place that is at the margins and feels so distant. It is that place that God will show up. And so as we journey through Luke's gospel, remember that is how the beginning of Jesus' ministry took place. So then the next part we get for today's gospel introduces us to John the Baptist. And today we're kind of getting the first part of this narrative that's going to continue into next week. This week, we're kind of getting what John the Baptist is talking about, and next week, we're going to hear more from John the Baptist about how that message looks, what it looks like tangibly when the rubber meets the road. Now, what we get is that today, John the Baptist is introducing us to the idea of preparation. He mentioned repentance. He connected his message to the words of the prophet Isaiah, who used the imagery of a ruler coming to visit. Now, back in the prophet Isaiah, this is when Isaiah is imagining a ruler, someone special who is coming to town. And what he's saying, all right, it is time to cut back all that overgrown brush along the road. It's time to make it a straight journey instead of zigzagging around those trees. It's time to fill all those potholes to make it a smoother ride. It's time to level out those makeshift roads that people have made, walking over the mountains, and instead bringing it down, making it easier for people to access God's presence. You see, Isaiah and then John, by quoting Isaiah, they are both calling for all of us to participate in helping to bring about a quick, smooth, and full vision of God's presence and love in the world, making the paths straight, filling the potholes, bringing down the mountains. Now, next week, we'll get a little bit more deeply into repentance and how that plays a role in preparation in terms of John. But for this week, we're just holding on to the need for preparation. And it's in the Advent season that we are often called to attend to and prepare for the presence of Christ in our lives, in our church, and in our world. And in this hurried and busy time where we often are running around trying to get things done, are we going to wrap up our books for the year? When are we going to get things done before we go on vacation? What presents to buy? Where are we going for a gathering? This is the moment where the lectionary offers us a pause button, a moment in the season of Advent to really reflect. Take on self-examination and see how the world and all of our busyness and hurriedness might just not be quite aligned with God's priorities and vision. It is a time to notice how we've gained by supporting inequity and oppression. It's a time to attend to relationships that have become damaged in an over-politicized world that we live in. It is a time for us to commit to ending the hierarchies of status and power and wealth. You see, Advent is like preparing for a large sofa or appliance to come home. As we prepare, we ensure that we have the money, that we have the clean space for it. We clear our schedule for that delivery. And with these preparations, it requires us to be honest with ourselves. Do we have the money for the purchase? Do we have enough space for the purchase? Do we have enough time to prepare for it, to take off of work, to be present? You see, much like preparing for a new delivery of an item, the act of self-examination helps us to determine what is important and how we might participate and bringing about God's vision. Where are we spending our time? Is it worth it and producing something good? Where are we spending our resources? Is it worth it? Is it bringing about something good and life-giving? Where are we spending our time, our resources, our energy? This is the questions of the Advent season. And earlier in this service, during Charlie's baptism, we all confessed that there are structures and agents that draw us from God's purposes. We acknowledge the reality of the world in which we live. We confess that we participate in these structures knowingly and unknowingly. We confess that the ways that we have not shown up in love and grace and justice and peace in the world, well, these ways have not pushed us so far away from God that we are stuck on the margins for eternity. Rather, we were reminded in that first part of today's gospel that in the 24th year of the 21st century, when Joe Biden was president of the United States and J.B. Pritzker was governor of Illinois, and Brandon Johnson was mayor of Chicago, and Elizabeth Eaton was presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the word of the Lord came to you. For you have been called by God to be a part of preparing the world to receive that love, that grace, that gift of justice. You are loved by a God who comes into those wilderness moments, into the uncertainty of what might be happening politically, into the uncertainty of what might be happening for our jobs, into the uncertainty of what might be happening of our relationships. Our God comes into the wilderness of the margins where you are today and says that God is with you. You are freely then given power and strength in the bread and the wine, in the water poured out in baptism, because the word of God has come to you where you are, not in some far off distant land, not to some president or governor or mayor or presiding bishop, but God has come to you in the little neighborhood of Wicker Park. God has come to you. And you see, throughout all of scriptures, God has this tendency to use what we might think of as maybe ineffective people to do God's work, maybe not the right choice. For after all, let's remember Moses, that stuttering servant, that servant that had a speech impediment. That individual was used as the one to free God's people into the land of freedom through the Red Sea. Or how about that Jacob who wrestled with God, who dared to ask God questions of who God is and how God acts, and came away with a limp from that wrestling. And yet that limping Jacob became the one who birthed the nation of Israel. And if God can also use a nobody in the wilderness like John the Baptist, a person wearing next to nothing good, nothing from Paris for sure, instead, if that old John the Baptist can be the one who bears the word of God to prepare the way, then God most certainly can use you, can most certainly use me to help prepare the way for God's presence to be felt here and now, to prepare the way for Christmas season that is just around the corner. And so, friends, I know this month is busy. It is filled with preparation of events and holiday gatherings, and it's also filled with those wilderness moments, that anxiety in between. But in the midst of all of that, I hope that you hear the voice of John the Baptist today. The voice crying out in the wilderness, reminding us to help prepare for God's presence. And so might we, as we journey through Advent, then look for those opportunities. Those opportunities to mend relationships as we prepare to see God's presence in all we meet. The opportunities to show love and compassion to stressed out colleagues and overworked laborers as we prepare for Christ's coming. The opportunity to remember that you are loved and that God has come to you, to ordinary you and me. You who are on the margins, you who are in the center, you who are in the wilderness, for Christ has surely come to you. Amen.